We turn to the passage of scripture which we read in the first epistle of Peter, and in chapter 5, where we shall read again at verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. In these few words, we have something very blessed. We find here the Apostle Peter giving to his readers a practical path to peace. Peace within. It is possible to have a calm and a steady spirit, even in a very troubled world, and at times when we too may experience troubles of various kinds. The interesting thing is that when you consider the author, Peter, the penman of this epistle, you know from what Scripture says concerning him, the Gospel narratives, that he wasn't always someone who perhaps followed his own counsel and advice here. He did not always bring things to the Lord. He would go about things in his own strength and according to his own knowledge. Ah, but he learned, as he did in many respects. That is one of the blessings of the Word of God. You read in the epistles of Paul, Peter and John, how they have grown in grace, how the work of sanctification has gone on in their lives also, and we have the benefit of it in what they wrote for our instruction, even as they were inspired by the Spirit. The words in verse 7 are, of course, connected with what has gone before, verses 5 and 6, where we're told to be clothed with humility, that God resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble, and that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the hand of God in providence. And that often is a reason for us to humble ourselves. When we do not see things going as we would wish them to go, when things happen both in church and nation which we find grievous, unsettling, difficult to manage with, well, cast all your care upon him, upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Let us consider then, firstly, as the Lord helps us, our care, casting all your care upon him. And we note firstly that the word is singular, care. And we have many cares, do we not? Many anxieties or worries, and here they're all put together. They're taken collectively. Whatever anxiety you may have, or worry that you may have, well, it belongs to this, your care. And we are to take the whole of it, all of it to the Lord. Can we describe our care, our anxieties and worries? Well, this care is produced perhaps by losses. We can lose our health at times. We all experience sickness, illness of one kind or another, but perhaps there is a serious illness. And that becomes a real care. It could be something material. You could lose your livelihood. You might lose it because of ill health. You could lose some material possession. You could lose your property. All these things are possible. God is good to his own. He spares them often from much of this. But these things can and they do happen. Then we may lose near and dear ones. And that produces a burden. The burden of the loss and the burden of how we will cope, the burden of the way ahead without loved ones who were there even at our side. But not only losses. We speak of crosses too. And Christ spoke of that. He said that if any man would come after him, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. And he even said that we are to take up our cross daily. We said before that the cross is not something that the world has. Not something, some adversity that we have in common with the world. It is something we have because we are believers in Christ. Because we have gone with the Lord. Because we call him Lord and Savior. We do that in a day and generation when perhaps few others do, round about us. Maybe the only Christian in your household, your family. There may not be many Christians in the community. And we find the church in our own land diminishing numerically and in its standing and influence. The last body that will be turned to for counsel and wisdom on important things tends to be the church, and certainly not the Bible-believing church. The word of God is not wanted. It's not wanted by government or other institutions. It's hardly got a place now in our schools. And yet Christians believe that word, and they're told that they are to hear it and keep it and practice it in their lives. We live by the word of God and according to the gospel of Christ. And Jesus himself says that if we love him, we are to keep his commandments. We are to love truth, and we are to love righteousness. And these things are to be seen in the manner of our lives. And so we have a cross, because the world says this is not what we wish to follow. This is outdated. This has no place anymore. Things have changed. Society has moved on. We've made progress. That's what they call it. We would say it is the opposite. And we do not need the morality of your Bible. Losses and crosses, these make up our care. The burden of these things and the anxiety regarding these things. And the anxiety is both how will we do in our difficulty and will we have strength to continue following Christ? to honour the Lord? Or will we be so weak that we will give way and in some way deny the Lord? You remember that Simon Peter did that. It brought him great shame. The Lord is very merciful. The Lord restored his servant and restored him to usefulness, even greater usefulness than he had had before. To go back to the word care. The sense of this word care is something that divides. Something that draws the person who has it this way and that way. At one moment this way, another moment that way. It divides. We have different thoughts about the things that face us, the difficulties ahead of us. One thought is, we'll put our trust in God. Another thought is, God doesn't seem to be interested. I've prayed, but I have no answer. Maybe it's something that I will have to bear myself and deal with myself. The care that we have tends to draw us away from God. Our minds are full of worry. The concern is always there. The difficulty can become overwhelming. The more we think about it, the more we're brought down, even near to despair. These things may come one after another, and they may together be a weighty burden indeed. We've known people, and because of the difficulties they're in, the worry that creates, they've almost been overwhelmed, crushed by the burden that they are carrying. Or perhaps they did not know the Lord. But even if we do know the Lord, unless we take the right action, these things may weigh very heavy upon us. Our care. What the believer finds again and again in his or her life in this world is that in our weakness, a strength is available to us which will carry us through every time of difficulty. And no doubt you have experienced that. And if you have, that is good, because when difficulties come again, the memory is there, the recollection of the help you received, and it encourages you to follow the same course. What strength are we speaking of? We're speaking of that strength which the Apostle Paul referred to, and which he knew, and knew in a remarkable way. He records this when he writes to the Corinthians the second time, and in chapter 12. The thorn in Paul's flesh. He describes it as the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And why should the Lord permit such a thing? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Why should Paul be so exalted? Why was that danger present? Well, he had had visions and revelations of the Lord. He had been caught up to the third heaven. even into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, not lawful for a man to utter. And the danger, no doubt, was that he would glory in the fact that he had been privileged to see these things, hear these things, to have such a wonderful experience. Lest he should be exalted, he got a thorn in his flesh, and he pled with the Lord to remove it. He did that 3 times. The Lord did not remove it. We're not told exactly what it was. It may have been some physical infirmity, something difficult to bear, something causing him, perhaps, a certain anxiety. What he did get was a blessing from God. He got the help of God's grace. He got grace that he wouldn't otherwise have. The experience of God's grace as God's strength in his weakness. And he would even then glory in his infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon him. Friends, it takes faith to view things that way and to trust in God accordingly and to submit to the will of our sovereign God. But let us remember, there is a strength for us in our weakness. The Lord is our strength, and our blessedness is in union with Christ, in fellowship with the Lord. Our care, but then God's care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And we would think that this must be a different word with a different meaning, and we would be right to think that. We have cares of one kind. The care God has for us is of another kind. And the sense of the care God has for his own is that of concern or compassion. Concern for compassion. And that is our God, is it not? How he has revealed himself in Scripture, even to his people Israel, and then in the New Testament, to the church at large. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15 we read this. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. There's the exalted God. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Can we see ourselves there? Contrite. We mourn over our sin. We repent of it daily. And humble. We do not exalt ourselves. We exalt the Lord. We're willing to take a lowly place before our God. And our God has such a care for us. He is not remote. The devil is always trying to persuade us that God is far off, very far off, and has no real interest in the small things, the minute things, the details of our life from day to day. But God does have such an interest, and God is near at hand. He came so close, and is so close, in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, becoming man. And as you know, Christ, as man, is now at God's right hand. Our human nature is on the throne. And the one who has that nature, Jesus Christ, has not lost in the least degree any of the sympathy he had with poor and needy sinners and his own afflicted people that he demonstrated in the days of his flesh when he walked in this world. Not remote. And in our prayers, we should be drawing nigh to God. And as James says, when we do that, God will draw nigh to us. We think of the cross. It's the center of everything. The center of God's purpose. The center of our lives as believers. And when we view the cross and the suffering of our Saviour, then we can never doubt the love that God has for his people. And with that love, the care. And he exercises that care. He comes to his own in difficulty. He does not forsake them. The Lord is very much involved in the day-to-day experience of his own. And there are verses which emphasize this truth. Our experience, we trust, confirms it. But firstly, Scripture affirms it, and it is good for us to take note of it. We think of those words in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. Zion is saying, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." But then we have this: "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" It's unthinkable. It could happen in an extraordinary case. "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." And when you read those words, "I have graven thee on the palms of my hands," that takes you to Calvary. That takes you to the one who was nailed to that accursed tree, who bears the wounds yet of his suffering, the evidence of his love to his people. And we think of the providence of God. And we have words from the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew's account of the gospel and in chapter 10 and the verse 29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." We were also singing in Psalm 27 and Psalm 40. And did we note what the psalmist is able to say, though me my parents both should leave, the Lord will me uptake. And perhaps we have known that in our experience. And then again, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord of me a care doth take. Thou art my help and saviour, my God, no tarrying make. He careth for you. And that is in the plural, for you, to emphasize that whoever of the Lord's people might read these words, it applies to them. Great multitude of the church, scattered abroad in the world, through the generations, down through the centuries, until Christ returns, gathers the whole body together, and brings his church to heaven. He careth for you. Finally, what we are to do with our care. And we go to the first verse, that first word of the verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In humility, and yet in faith and obedience to God, we are to take all our care to the Lord. And we are to do so because he is a father to us. As we are taught in many places in the New Testament, that is how the Christian may view God. A father in heaven, and yet a father who knows his children, knows them very well indeed, knows all their circumstances and all their need. And what care can we cast upon him? Well, care of every kind. Care with respect to the body, the sickness, the frailty, care with respect to the soul, temptations and troubles within, care that relates to ourselves, our personal situation, to our family, the need we know of there, care that relates to the church, and care that relates to the nation. And I think you will find warrant in Scripture for believers to be remembering all these cares, having respect to all these individuals and bodies, warrant for us to be bringing them all to the Lord. God is honored in that way. When his people humble themselves before him, the care, the burden we have, should cause us to renew our trust in God, our sense of dependence upon him. And we express that when we go to him in prayer. Sometimes we find ourselves too busy. Other things enter into our minds, demand our attention. Sometimes when we do attempt to pray, we struggle. We cannot find the words. We cannot express what is in our very hearts. For let there be groaning, even groanings which cannot be uttered. Let there be cries. They are fitting for children, even the children of God. Let there be tears, if that is appropriate, when the burden, the care, is one we feel even keenly. And the Lord will discern the need that we have. Do your best to articulate it to God, but know that He is able to discern the burden you are carrying. Do not fail to bring the matter to God. The prayer of faith, that is what we need in our day. More of the Lord's people praying with a greater faith, praying with perseverance over the many great and weighty issues that concern the church and the nation and individual believers. Praying especially for their loved ones, friends and neighbours, that they may come to know their own need of the Lord. The disciples themselves failed somewhat in this area, this respect, not bringing the matter to the Lord in the way appointed, faith and prayer. You will remember when the disciples were in the ship on the Sea of Galilee and a fierce storm arose, as it often does on that particular body of water. And the disciples were full of worry. And they were almost panicking. Well, they went to the Lord. Where was the Lord? He was in the stern of the ship. He was asleep. And they awoke him, but what did they say to him? Master, carest thou not that we perish? As though because he was still asleep, had not woken, had not rushed to their side, somehow the Lord was unaware or uncaring regarding their plight. The Lord cared for them. He stilled the storm, but he said to them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? That was a rebuke. Sometimes it's one that we too need to hear. And the lesson is, in all our care, our anxiety and worry, trust, obey, and pray. Because God careth for you. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, enable us to exercise faith in thy word of promise, and to come before thee in all our need and also on behalf of others, praying in Jesus' name that thou wilt arise and come to our aid. Help us then in our weakness by granting us thy strength, that we may be held up under our burden. Hear our prayer. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.